Good evening and warm welcome to everyone to Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings call of Sanghvi Movers Limited. Please note, the investor presentation and the financial results are available on the company website and the stock exchanges. Also, anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. The conference call is being recorded, and the transcript along with the audio of the same will be made available on the website of the company as well as on the exchanges. Please also note that the audio of the conference call is the copyright material of Sanghvi Movers Limited and cannot be copied, rebroadcasted, or attributed in the press or media without specific and written consent of the company. From the management, we have with us Mr. Rishi Sanghvi, Managing Director, Mr. Gaurang Desai, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Pradeep Mehta, Chief Financial Officer. I now request Mr. Pradeep Mehta, Chief Financial Officer of Sanghvi Movers Limited, to provide you with the update for the quarter and half year ended 30th September 2025. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sifa. I will begin with the financial highlight for the quarter and half year ended 30th September 2025. For Q2 FY26, the company achieved total income from operation of Rs. 210 crore compared to Rs. 273 crore in Q1 FY26. And am I audible?
Yes, sir. Much better now.
Okay. So for Q2 FY26, the company achieved total income from operation of Rs. 210 crore as compared to 273 crore in Q1 FY26 and Rs. 156 crore in Q2 FY25, marking a growth of 35% year on year. On a half yearly basis, H1 FY26, the revenue stood at Rs. 483 crore, up 57% year on year from Rs. 307 crore in H1 FY25. Driven by sustained demand across infrastructure and renewable energy sector. Coming to the segment-wise contribution for Q2 FY26, the crane rental business contributed approximately 68% of total revenue, wind EPC business accounted for 26.7%, and project EPC firm balance 5.2%. Our EBITDA for Q2 FY26 stood at 88 crore, up from Rs. 81 crore in Q2 FY25, reflecting a growth of 9% year on year, with an EBITDA margin of 42%. For H1 FY26, EBITDA was 195 crore compared to 175 crore in H1 FY25, which represents 11% year on year growth with a margin of 40%. Profit after tax for Q2 FY26 came in at Rs. 336 crore compared to Rs. 50 crore in Q1 FY26 and Rs. 29 crore in Q2 FY25, an increase of 24% year on year. For H1 FY26, PAT stood at 87 crore against 70 crore in H1 FY25, reflecting 24% growth year on year. Our average capacity utilization during the quarter was 70% compared to 80% in Q1 FY26, and average blended yield today 2.04% per month, broadly in line with the previous quarter. On the balance sheet side, the company continued to maintain a strong financial position. As of 30th September 2025, net debt stood at 440 crore with a debt equity ratio of 0.36x, indicating a healthy leverage profile. The average borrowing cost remains stable at 8.48% per annum, and the company's net worth stood at 1,212 crore. During H1 FY26, we incurred a capex of 123 crore in India and 17 crore in our KSA subsidy, taking the total capex to Rs. 140 crore. As approved by Board of Directors, now capex plan of Rs. 629 crore for FY26, out of which 405 crore is earmarked for India and 224 crore for KSA. We added 22 cranes in India and 9 cranes in Saudi Arabia during the period. Our order book stands strong at 1,239 crore, out of which approximately 756 crore is expected to be executed during FY26, while around 10-15% may spill over into FY27 due to monsoon-related delays and site clearance from customer side. Additionally, we continue to invest surplus cash strategically. As of September 2025, the company has deployed up 192 crore across various debt and arbitrage funds, generating an average revenue of 6-7.9% per annum. These investments are earmarked as growth capital for future expansion, particularly in Engine 2 business for global diversification. The company has a total sanction limit of 150 crore for cash credit, and however it is, utilization is negligible, which is less than 1% of the total sanction limit. With this, I would now hand over to Mr. Gaurang Desai, our CEO.
A very good afternoon to all of you, and thank you for joining. I'm pleased to report that your company continues to demonstrate a very strong momentum and execution resilience. Mr. Mehta has mentioned, as of 31st October, our consolidated order book stands at 1,239 crores. I am also further happy to share that we have an open inquiry pipeline of in excess of 2,000 crores, reflecting sustained demand and strong customer confidence. The robust inquiry pipeline and order book supports management view of taking an aggressive stand in terms of CapEx, and which was unanimously approved by the board of directors. We are strongly positioned across India's core growth sectors, renewables, infrastructure, EPC. Crane leasing and wind EPC continues to deliver robust performance, securing strategic projects and deepening our presence in sectors like thermal, construction, steel, cement, etc. Let me give a perspective of the industry. In FY26, India's renewable energy is expected to record a record growth. In H1, we have already completed an installed capacity of 3.09, and another 3 gigawatt is expected to be added in H2. Cement production as of March stood at 655 million tons and is expected to reach around 700 million metric tons by March 2026, driven from expansions of major clients like UltraTech, Shree Cement, Dalmia, etc. Steel also showing an upward trend, and 35 million tons of new capacity is expected, taking the total crude steel capacity to 235 million metric tons. We are also seeing a strong traction in nuclear power, with NPCIL advancing projects of almost 8,000 megawatt in their units in different parts of country. India's infrastructure sector continues to gain momentum, driven by sustained public investment, private participation across railways, metros, road, bridges, ports. With a strong order base, expanding pipeline, and a very positive sector tailwinds, we are very confident of delivering a sustained performance in FY26 and beyond. I would now request our MD, Mr. Sanghi, to talk about growth initiatives and long-term vision.
Thank you, Pradeep and Gaurav. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking the time out to join our Q2 and H1 FY26 investor call. You know, the first thing that I want to touch upon is our 5-year strategic roadmap, Elevate 2030. Elevate 2030 stands to serve our customers by expanding our global footprint, diversifying our portfolio, and strengthening customer-centric value creation. With respect to our global footprint, I am really excited to announce that your company has begun operations in Q2 of FY26 in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and currently we have deployed more than 30 cranes on site, all of which have moved from port to site. We foresee that the annual crane rental market in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia in aggregate is approximately $800 million to $1 billion per year. There is an estimated investment scope by across various sectors, projects, government entities and private players to the tune of nearly $1.6 to $2 trillion. Our current inquiry pipeline is very healthy and we have approximately $50 million worth of inquiries, which will translate into strong revenues in the next 24 months. Further, we have made significant inroads in our renewable company, where we are servicing customers from conceptualization to commissioning in the renewable wind energy space. I would now like to highlight some of the key pillars that we are building our Elevate 2030, the 5-year strategic vision on. First, we are developing a customer-centric approach. We are committed to strengthening partnerships by delivering tailored high-quality service offerings that meet our clients' needs. The second is our global expansion, as I have already discussed about our first step in Saudi Arabia and further beyond that in the MENA region as we open up new countries to further grow our core business. The third is a product portfolio diversification, where we continue to expand beyond crane rental services by leveraging our customer connect and solving their pain points to meet evolving industry needs. The fourth is our people focus, which is employee development, where we are continuously fostering a performance-driven culture. The fifth is our financial growth, where we focus on enhancing our capital efficiency, improving profitability, and maximizing returns for all our stakeholders, including all of you who have joined this call today. And the sixth is our digital scalability, where we are leveraging technologies to unlock our 3.5 decades of experiences and bring those learnings across various products and segments. You know, while I am focused on talking about the future, I would like to highlight some of the promises that we have already delivered to our stakeholders. One is our reactivation and completion of our engagement with DAME to explore growth opportunities. We have now successfully shortlisted the business expansion idea. The second is the proposed formation of our company in Saudi Arabia. And we have activated our globalization track in February 2025 and kicked off our commercial operations in September 2025. The third is something that is dear to me, which is the carving out of our renewable business from the parent listed entity, Sanghvi Movers, into a wholly owned subsidiary called Sanghvi Future Private Renewables. This has helped us redesign our operating model and put into place a BU leadership that is responsible for individual P&L outcomes. Finally, we have promised to appoint an experienced C-suite leadership team. And I am really proud to say that we have completed the hiring of not only across BUs, but for most central, all central functions, such as the CFO, CPO, strategy officer, people officer, and business officer. Therefore, we now have a capable and engaged leadership team to take your company to the next level down our journey of Elevate 2030 in the next 5 years. I would like to thank each and one, every one of you for joining this investor call, and we look forward to our continued engagement. I would now like to hand over the floor back to our moderator and Pradeep and Gaurav to take your questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Deepan Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone.
The line for Mr. Deepak has been disconnected. We will proceed with the next question from Sudhir Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, two questions from my side. One is on your Elevate 2030. You said that there are financial goals. If you can give specific numbers that what type of ROC you are looking in 2030 and what level of revenue you would like to reach over there.
So Sudhir, hi, this is Gaurang. So Elevate 2030, we have defined in terms of in 5 years, we are going to touch revenue of 4x.
Hello? Yeah, should I repeat the question?
Yeah, so you wanted to know about Elevate 2030 and
yeah.
Somehow we got disconnected. So, you know, Elevate 2030 is an initiative what we have taken in terms of, let's say, six particular pillars. So we, you know, customer-centric approach, have a whole customer-centric approach, have global expansions, look into product portfolio diversification, employee development, financial growth, digital scalability. We have really not put a number what we should be looking in 5 years as of now. But this is the philosophy of what we have defined, and we are working towards each and every step, and we get more clarity as we go along.
Yeah, to add on the Gaurang about the financial side, what you are wanted to understand on ROC and all those things. So our overall focus is on enhancing the capital efficiency basically and improving the profitability. The exact number, if you are looking, definitely we are working on that.
Okay, great. And sir, second question relating to the order book which you had said. See, an executable order of around 756 crores. Is it possible for you to break it up between how much is for crane rental and how much is for EPC?
So let me clarify, the order booking as of today, as I mentioned, it stands at 1239, and these are orders which are executable in this particular financial year.
Yeah. So if you can break that up also, that will also be okay.
So we typically do not. So tell that. So typically, you know, we refrain from giving forward guidelines. But you know, historically, it has been a mix. Historically, it has been a mix of both EPC and crane rental. And 1239, you know, is order booking as of date, but because of monsoon, because of, you know, other land issues, we may see a 10% difference being there.
Yeah. Because you were giving this breakup earlier, that's why I'd ask whether if you can share this crane rental part of the order booking, because you have very different margin profile in both the businesses.
Correct, but as you know, last time also I think we touched upon it is that we are refraining from giving this information due to, you know, kind of restriction imposed by the board.
Okay. Okay, great. And I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from Deepan Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks a lot for the opportunity. So from my side, the executable order book for H2 FI
Your voice is not audible. Can you come back?
I think it dropped out again, please.
Yes, sir. We will proceed with the next question from Riya Mehta. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My first question is that I would want to know the breakup of the order book in terms of how much is for the crane business and how much is for the sanguine business.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we just touched upon it. We have a total order booking of 1239 crores. And, you know, as a management principle, we have stopped giving the breakup, segmental breakup from quarter one as advised by the board.
Okay. And in terms of the, what, hello?
Yeah, yeah, please go on.
Yeah. So, just wanted to understand how much in the Q3, since we've seen extended monsoon, and I think your commentary also says that 10% has been still lower. So how does it work? Could you help me understand the impact in Q3? What will you see because of delayed execution?
So, ma'am, we have you know, a robust order booking as well as robust pipeline, and you know, Q3. Will not be any different as compared to last year, and we hope to maintain the momentum that we have been doing.
Okay. And in terms of receivable, I think, hello?
Yes, yes, ma'am, please go on.
Yeah. So when I look at my half yearly balance sheet, I see the kind of receivables has increased significantly, even in terms of number of days. Could you help me, where are we seeing delays, or is it the nature of execution that as we are seeing that the trade receivables increasing a bit?
Yes, ma'am. So, yes, there is an increase in number of receivable days. However, there is no inherent concern. There are some clients where, you know, reconciliation was pending, which is happening as we speak. So we should see a definite improvement in Q3 going forward.
Okay. I think that's it from my side. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Next question is from Vivek from Firecom. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, firstly, in the Q4 FY25 con call, you had guided for FY26 top line growth of 25 to 30%. So, this was with crane rental growing at 10 to 15%, wind EPC with more than 2x, and project EPC of approximately 2x. So, given the lower base last year and better execution expected in H2 FY26, would you like to revise your guidance higher?
No, so we are confident of sustaining, you know, growth guidance what we have given in Q1. However, you know, we are sitting on a higher base in terms of our order booking. So we are not revising the guidance. We are saying that we are confident to meet the guidelines.
Right, right. Second, you had guided the crane utilization at around 75 to 80%, but Q2 FY26 utilization stands at around 70%. So is this due to seasonal monsoon impact or a broader slowdown in infrastructure or construction activity? Because some of the logistics players have, you know, reported steady utilization in Q2 FY26. So could you help me explain this divergence?
Sure, Vivek. So if you look at the history, you know, H1 of FY25, our utilization stood at 73%, and H1 of 2026, we are at 75%. So utilization has moved, I mean, not significantly, but has improved. Q2, if you compare last year, it was again 68 versus 70. So we are saying that utilization number has increased over last year, and Q2 is a seasonality effect. That is why you are seeing 68-70%.
Right. But I mean, some of the domestic players have, you know, improved or has been steady in terms of the utilization. So, I mean, there's this seasonality impact, right? I just wanted to confirm that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Sure. Sure. So thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Krupa Desai from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes,
yeah. So my question was on depreciation. As I see, we have increased our capex guidance for this year to around 630 crores. So can you give the ballpark depreciation number for this year?
Depreciation will be as per the companies that normally the capex depends on the capitalization of the machine. Till September, you have already seen the number of financials. Now, as the machine will be capitalized, the equipment will be capitalized, accordingly, it will be there. But for the entire year, you can consider around 130 to 135 crores for the depreciation number.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Next question is from Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, actually, on this order book breakup, in Q1 PPT, we were giving this order book breakup between the crane rental and the EPC side. So, any reason why we have stopped disclosing it now?
So, I think we also mentioned in quarter one, and again, we are reiterating that, you know, we have been directed by the board not to give, because this is a, in a way, a competitive information, and we would going further. And even now, we would refrain from giving the same.
Got it, sir. Can you talk a little bit on the crane side? We are increasing capacity. So what kind of utilization and yields do we expect of in the second half?
So, we are, you know, in terms of yield, we are at around 2.08%, which is kind of more or less as compared to H1 of last year. With the increased capex, you know, we don't expect the yield to go substantially up, but we'll be able to maintain the yield around this number. However, the utilization is, we could be looking at better utilization numbers in future.
So given Q3, Q4 are a stronger quarters, can we expect that this utilization to go towards the 80% mark, sir?
Yes, 78% to 80%.
And given utilization will improve, don't you think yields can also improve, or is it like too much competition in the market so yields will sustain here?
Yeah, I would love to, you know, tell you that we'll increase the yield, but there is a lot of competitive pressure, and you know, our efforts will always be there to see how best we can improve.
Got it, sir. And sir, on the new capex side, when will that commission and when will they start getting a to revenue per side to us?
So we expect, you know, some delivery in quarter four and some in quarter three, but you know, the real impact we should be seeing in next financial.
Got it, sir. And sir, on the EP side, what kind of margins do you expect, sir?
So on the renewable business, we expect EBITDA margin to be around 10 to 12%. For Q2, on the standalone basis in SFRPL, the EBITDA margin was around between 18 to 20%. But as we scale up the business, we have consistently communicated with the investor community that the EPC margin should stabilize between 10 to 12%, which is still a significant premium as compared to the market, because we really add value to our customers. As we are associated with them from conceptualization to commissioning, we have now become the preferred player in the renewable space for a majority of the IPPs, and we work with a broad base of customers in this space.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from Ashish Yag from InvestQ PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes. Sir, I wanted to qualitatively understand, is there any difference in the business matrices that you see between the Saudi Arabia business that you are now building and the Indian business that we have been doing thus far. So for every maybe 100 crores that you invest there, is there a difference in the kind of ROCEs that you get between India and KSA?
Yeah, so it's a very good question. The Saudi Arabia business provides a higher yield as compared to the Indian business. However, the operating costs out of Saudi Arabia are higher than India. There are several factors or reasons because of this. On the demand side, there is a huge demand for grains. As I said, there's $2 trillion worth of projects being announced. The grain market itself is between 800 million to 1 billion. And we ourselves are sitting on a $45 to $50 million inquiry pipeline. Therefore, there is tremendous demand for grains in Saudi Arabia, and this supports a robust yield on the demand side. On the operative side of the business, the cost of operations are significantly higher due to a plethora of reasons. There is Saudi Asian requirements, there's local governance requirements. The cost of operations itself in Saudi Arabia is higher. The cost of manpower is higher in Saudi Arabia. And therefore, the EBITDA margin is slightly lower than India, and I would say it is on par with India. So really for us, we are bullish on both the Indian market and the Saudi Arabia market. And we are keen to explore and expand in Saudi Arabia while continuing to protect and retain our leadership position in India.
Okay. Anything to share on the competitive aspects over there in KSA? Because I assume that the way Indian market is structured, it would be a bit different in KSA. As we are entering that market, there would be other players who are already there. Maybe some others would be eyeing, because we see a lot of Indian companies targeting that market given the boom in CapEx over there. So what is the dynamic like? And secondly, our commitment, we've seen in your presentation the kind of capital you're committing there right now. But just maybe a feeler as to where do we see in terms of amounts that we need to invest there in the next maybe 3 years. I mean, preliminary, but still your thoughts on this will be helpful to understand the overall picture of the business of Sanghvi Movers between India and KSA and between the three verticals, I mean, EPC, India Cranes, and KSA Cranes business.
So I take one question at a time because. So the first question is the competitive landscape in Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia by no means is a mature market, but by no means is a nascent market. The kind of construction activity that is present in Saudi Arabia, it has become the world's construction backyard. Saudi Arabia is to host the FIFA World Cup, followed by the Winter Games, followed by the World Expo. It has a number of PIF projects, giga projects that it has been announced, as well as Saudi Aramco that is going to spend upwards of $500 billion in the next 5 years. So Saudi Arabia is an expanding and booming market, and we are very bullish on the growth story in Saudi Arabia. As we mentioned, there's $2 trillion worth of construction projects that has been announced. Now, therefore, it is not a nascent market and it is not a mature market. The opportunity we see in Saudi Arabia is that the market is underserved and it is primed extremely well for the world's fifth largest crane rental company, which is Sanghvi Movers Limited, to come to Saudi Arabia and bring its technical expertise, safety standards, scale of operation, and its ability to operate at a very low cost structure and in a very competitive environment such as India. So these differentiating factors allow us as Sanghvi Movers Middle East to expand rapidly in a very high growth market. It has been our stated ambition that we will become a top three crane rental player in the next 5 years. Now, in terms of investment appetite for the next 3 years, this is a CapEx decision and it is subject to the board of directors approval. However, we see that our fleet in Saudi Arabia will expand rapidly in the next 3 years. We would like to own upwards of 100 machines in the next 24 months in Saudi Arabia, of which your company has already committed roughly 225 crores to procure approximately 55 cranes in Saudi Arabia.
Okay. So I think, Rishiji, this call may be difficult to ask all the questions. So who would be the right person in your company to come and meet and maybe sit for some time and understand things?
So we really look forward to interacting with the investor and financial community. You know, we are at a turning point in our growth story. And we look forward to explaining our strategic rationale and our aspirations, which of course will be backed by our results. And the right person to reach out to gather further information is the management team, which is headed by Gaurang, Pradeep and Mr. Vinav, who is our company secretary and chief compliance officer.
To add on, we have also engaged the E&Y now, so they can be an available platform to interact with us.
Okay. I probably look forward to some contact that I can reach out for a meeting with you guys. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from Nirav Savai from Abacus. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Now my question is on this Saudi business and the inquiries worth almost $50 million, which we foresee coming over a period of time. So any timelines which you all can provide with, how much do we see in FY26, 27, and what can be the execution potential from this inquiries? Also, another thing is on the OPEX part of it. Now, what is the fixed cost OPEX which we incur in the Saudi business?
So, this inquiry pipeline that we have, which is as of today 45 to 50 million, it is translatable in the next 24 months. So, there is sufficient demand that we see in the Saudi Arabia market over the course of the next 24 months. Whatever capex that we have committed in Saudi Arabia, we are proud to say every single asset has moved from port to site directly. So today we are at 100% utilization as of today in Saudi Arabia, and we have a very healthy inquiry pipeline which we have already stipulated as being 45 to 50 months. So the market really is there for us to take it. And our establishment in Saudi Arabia is such that we have built an organization that will be sustainable in the long run to seize this opportunity and take all future decisions to shift Sanghvi Movers into the top three position. What was the second question you asked?
So the OPEX part of it, because we said that you know, the yields are better, but the operating cost is significantly higher when we see on a quarterly basis. And now, whether we execute or not, there will be some operating expenses which will be incurred every quarter. So if you can just quantify that on a quarterly basis, on a yearly basis, this is the fixed cost component in the Saudi subsidiary.
So as of right now, our fixed cost is just the employee salary cost, which we are incurring on account of hiring the Saudi team. Our approach is to build in the long term across multiple decades. So the company's priority has been to hire the best talent in the region that will allow sustainable and long-term growth of our KSC entity. You know, the first quarter we did not have revenue, so you can just project that to be our fixed cost.
Okay. And secondly, on the depreciation side, you said about 130 to 135 crores will be for 26. Now with this capex, which is all going to happen in FY26, so what kind of a number should we look at for FY27.2?
You know, we don't have that working as of today, but you can take it on the on our gross block. You can measure the depreciation either on the net block or gross block look at the capacity addition that we will do and then project out what the depreciation will look like.
Yeah, because where I was coming from was, you know, the way it is capitalized, you know, it's not getting translated into depreciation. We are seeing the gross block going up. So, it was the reason I was just trying to understand that how do we see the
number? No, yes. So, the approved capex till date is 630 crores, of which the company has only incurred approximately 200 crores. So, majority of the capex will come in online in the subsequent quarters, which is Q3 and Q4. Therefore, there hasn't been any depreciation or gross block impact of this capex which has been approved, incremental capex which has been approved by the board of directors in the meeting that got concluded on the 7th of November. The impact of this capex will come in the next financial year.
Oh, all right, I'll be in the queue for any more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from Riya Mehta from Acutus Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. I just wanted to know what is the current gross block?
Current gross block is
2,750 crores. 2,750. Okay. And my next question is from the... So, earlier, 2024, we had undergone an extensive program of selling off the obsolete grains. Is that program over or are we still in the process of, or have we earmarked some certain grains for selling for this year as well?
Yeah, this is going on. This is not hold on. It's a continuous process. Whatever assets which are held for disposal are being continuously disposed of time to time basis.
Okay. Also, in terms of Saudi, since we will be increasing our business, are we seeing any impact on trade receivables because of Saudi, or are the credit terms similar?
We have commenced commercial operation in Saudi Arabia in Q2, which is Q2 FY26. In September was when we had our first billing of Riyadh. So the impact of the Saudi business in receivables is still not factored into our results as of today.
Okay. But in terms of credit policy, is it different?
So, in Saudi Arabia, the credit terms are on par with India. It is your ability to collect payments irrespective of where you are in the world, India or Saudi Arabia. You know, it is your ability to convince the customer to pay you on time that really matters.
Right, right. I think Saudi's moat over there in being the largest crane rental company helps. Thank you, Manishi.
Thank you. Next question is from Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. So, sorry for the, again on Saudi side. Can you comment what kind of order book do we have in Saudi, or can you talk about as in we will be breaking even already? Are we breaking even already, or like there will be some time for us to break even there?
So, the order book we will announce in the next financial quarter, because the meaningful operation or the first billing has only occurred in September and the full impact of the order book has not come into play. So from the next quarter onwards, which is Q3 FY26, we will start announcing the order book for our Saudi operation. What I'm extremely proud of and which validates our decision to go to Saudi Arabia is the fact that all our equipment has moved from port to site directly. Today, we are at 100% capacity utilization, and of the 54 cranes that we are envisioned to purchase in Saudi Arabia, something upwards of 30 plus cranes are on the ground in Saudi, and they are all deployed at the customer job site earning a revenue. In terms of the inquiry pipeline, which is a further validation of our strategic move and global expansion to Saudi Arabia, we have an extremely robust order book, and really it is up to our ability to convert that order book inquiry pipeline. Sorry, we have a very robust inquiry pipeline, and it is our ability to convert that inquiry pipeline. So I always say that Saudi is a market for our taking.
Got it, sir. And sir, given we in India we make more than 50% EBITDA margins on the crane rental side, so can we expect similar margins to be there in the Saudi side?
So as I already mentioned in an answer to another question in this call, I will repeat myself. The yield, which is an operating parameter for our business, is higher in Saudi Arabia. And however, the operative expenses are also higher in Saudi Arabia. Therefore, the EBITDA is on par or slightly below the SML, the India EBITDA for the crane rental business. However, over the long run, because of our 3.5 decades of operative experience, our technological capabilities, our ability to operate at a lower and effective cost base in a highly competitive market, we believe that our intellectual property in Saudi Arabia will allow us to improve EBITDA in Saudi Arabia and bring it on par with the India business. But as of today, they are on par.
Sure, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from Digan Vam from SVIP Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Just wanted to know the CapEx that we are doing, would we be importing anything? And if we are importing, are we facing any issues like higher duties, restrictions in imports, any change in delivery timelines while importing, anything of that sorts?
So all our CapEx comes from either Germany or China. So yes, we are importing everything. Some of our payment terms may be domestic. We do not foresee any impact of any additional custom duty or tariffs on the CapEx that we have announced of 624 crores. All of the CapEx, at least for the India business, which is approximately 405 crores, will happen before any change in duty.
And the delivery timelines from those we are importing from, are there any changes in that, or they are in line with what was agreed upon?
The delivery, yeah, they're in line and they will continue to be there, delivered between Q3 and Q4.
Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from Jai Bharat Trivedi from InCred AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes,
yes.
Please go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. I just had one question, wanted to understand on the blended EBITDA margins or the EBIT margins that we would be targeting by end of FY26. Any ballpark range would also be okay.
So we don't give forward guidance on the EBITDA margin number.
But you know, the EBITDA margin is a function of the revenue mix, which straddles 3 to 4 different business segments between the crane rental business, the renewable business, and the Saudi business. Now, the revenue mix is dependent on certain things. One is the order book, of which we have announced a 1,239 crores order book, which is supposed to be delivered in this financial year. Now, of that 1,239 crores of order book, roughly 10% of that order book may be delayed due to a prolonged monsoon, delay from the client side, and cascading spillover, which is out due to external factors out of SML's control. Therefore, the revenue mix at the end of the year for us today is difficult to forecast, but we are saying that maybe 10% of the secured order book may get pushed into the next financial year. As we are not able to A, predict the revenue forecast, we cannot give a guidance on the blended EBITDA margin for the group. And move further to that, you know, by way of abundant or prudent caution and on the advice of our board of directors, we do not give forward guidance in principle.
Definitely, sir. Totally agree with what you are saying. But as analysts, how do we then value the company? Because profitability is something which everyone on the call would also be eager to know. So that is, I don't need a
you know, that's an excellent number. Question. That's an excellent question. And the way I would suggest you, well, I would never tell someone on how to do that job. But if since you have asked me the question, I can provide the following feedback. We have given you at the start of your year some kind of revenue guidance in terms of how the top line would grow. And you know the respective EBITDA profile of each of the businesses. Therefore, it is possible for you to then make a educated forecast on where the blended EBITDA would land.
Okay, sir. I'll try my level best here. It's all I can say. But all the best, sir, and congratulations on building up a great order book in India and definitely commencing operations in Saudi Arabia. All the best, sir.
Thank you very much. In the interest of time, we will take that as our last question for the day. I would like to hand over the conference to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much, everybody, for participating in this call. And, you know, we always kind of treat this as key insight to our business. We hope that your company continues to deliver sustained performance, and looking forward to seeing all of you and talking to you in quarter three. Thank you.
On behalf of Sanghvi Movers Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.